is the Spurs Cast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. On today's episode, I will be going solo once again. In this episode, I'll be discussing the rumor of the Spurs being interested in Chris Paul, and I'll answer more questions sent in from fans via social media. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode, Spurs Cast episode 700. Let's go ahead and jump right into this episode here. All right, so the first, this wasn't really on the topic. This isn't a question that fans sent in, but more it was more so something that I wanted to address just because it's been reported on recently, via social media through different outlets. So let's talk about Chris Paul and the Spurs' interest in him. First, let's first explain, how did the Spurs make their name into the story? How are they involved in this story? So let's go back to June 7th, and I do want to note that I am recording this 5 days since this happened. I'm recording this on June 12th. So let's go back to June 7th. It's like middle of the afternoon. Chris Haynes of Bleacher Report and TNT, he reports that the Suns have notified Chris Paul that he's going to be waived. Now Haynes didn't say immediately when Paul would be waived. We know that he has a partially guaranteed contract that if he's not waived by June 28th, in about 2 weeks from now, then he will get his full salary for next season. So if he's waived before June 28th and next season in 23, he's only owed $15.8 million from the Suns. If he gets waived after that date or they keep him on the roster for next season, then he's going to make $30.8 million. So basically, half that money right there. So that's what Haynes first wrote. Then about 2 hours later, Woj and Shams come out on social media on Twitter, and they both say that they basically very similar things to what Haynes said, where they said that the Suns are exploring options with Chris Paul, and there's multiple options they're looking at. They're looking to either trade him, try to find a trade for him, maybe waiving him and then re-signing him. What's been reported is that they would only want to re-sign him for the veteran minimum. It looks like he would not want to take that if that is the case, or waiving and stretching his contract out. Now, if they do that, according to Bobby Marks and also the CBA says this, is that if you stretch a player's contract, you're not allowed to re-sign him. So he wouldn't be able to re-sign with the Suns in this case if he is waived and stretched. So again, basically, it looks like the most likely the route is that they're going to end up ending this relationship with Chris Paul. The Suns are. They're going to most likely try to find a trade, it looks like, before the 28th of June. If they can't do that, then it looks like they're going to end up just waiving him. And they would probably stretch him just because it opens up not more. They don't have any cap space because they're over the cap, but it would open up the mid-level exceptions. If they waive him, just flat out and don't stretch his contract out, well, then they could have access to the tax mid-level, which is a little bit less than what's going to be called the full mid-level. They have more access to that if they're able to stretch out his contract. So all in all, it looks like he won't, most likely the Suns point that he's not going to be a Sun next year just based on what we've seen. Now, how did the Spurs play into this? 2 days later, after all of this happened, Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer wrote an article. And in that article, he talked about, just some landing places for Chris Paul and what he's heard. Sources are whispering, according to his words, that the Clippers, Lakers, and Spurs are teams that could be possible destinations for Chris Paul. So that's how the Spurs' name ends up getting in there. I do trust O'Connor's reporting. So he's a writer from an outlet that's very reputable here. So, we went along and definitely, explored this because, again, he definitely has his ears in rumors and trade talk and things like that. So that's where the Spurs' interest comes in. So now that I know the Spurs are, might be involved here where they might have some interest in Chris Paul, I needed to figure out on my end, just doing some research, how can the Spurs, acquire Chris Paul? Do they want to try to trade for him if they do want him? Do they want to try to sign him after he gets away from the Suns? What are the different routes? So that's what I wanted to look at. And so that's where I went, did my research and did some research and figured out, how can the Spurs best get Chris Paul if they did want him? So there's basically two routes for the Spurs to get Chris Paul. If, let's just say, again, I'm not saying that they want him, that they want to try to, go after him. But again, I'm just using O'Connor's reporting here that the Spurs are a team that, has some interest in him. So let's just say, again, their target was to go and get Chris Paul now that he's most likely not going to be on the Suns. What are the two routes they could do? The first route, it gives them more control here, and this is where they could try to trade for him. So a trade would likely have to be done in the 2022 timeline. What that means is that up until June 30th, we're still operating in the current season, the season where the Nuggets and the Heat are in the finals, the season where the Spurs only won 22 games. Okay, we're still in that actual season. That season does not end on the calendar date until July 1st. That's when the 23 season begins, and that's when Chris Paul's contract starts at, $30.8 million, or if he's way before then, $15.8 million. So again, if the Spurs can execute a trade in the 22 timeline, then they would have to figure out a deal where they're acquiring his current salary for this season, which was $28.4 million. That's what he made in the 2022 season. Now, the Spurs have a lot of, they still have some flexibility here to make a trade just because of where they ended the season. They had a $22.8 million, they had about $22 million in cap space this current season still open that they hadn't used. So they could try to work a trade with the Suns if they really wanted Chris Paul before this calendar date ends. And that would be pretty easy to do if you just add one or two, one of either of these players. You could put a player like Devontae Graham into the deal. And again, he has a guaranteed salary this coming season, but the next season, it's partially guaranteed. Again, he gives the Suns some depth at point guard. He also, even if they did want to waive him, his salary is still less than that $15.8 million that they would be on the books for with Chris Paul. Or they could even play a player who we didn't see in the Spurs uniform this past season, Kem Birch, in a trade. And again, maybe the Spurs, because they're giving in both these scenarios, they're giving the Suns more cap relief than Paul's $15.8 million cap hit. So maybe the Spurs are asking for some assets. Maybe they ask for like a second round pick or something like that, you know, because they're actually helping the Suns out, it looks like, in this type of a deal. And so if the Suns do that, well, then yes, they get Birch, and his salary is only $6.7 million this coming season. So that's way less than the $15.8 million they're off the hook for now with Paul. Now, here's the thing, though. If the Spurs do swing a trade before the 22 timeline ends, then they are most likely, obviously, they're doing this to try to keep Chris Paul. So they're going to be on the hook for his salary next year at $30.8 million. So again, they would have him on the roster so that June 28th date would pass. He'd be a Spur next season. And then, of course, his salary wouldn't be 15.8. It would be 30.8. And that's where the organization has to figure out what they want. That, they're going to have cap space next year, but that would eat up a huge chunk of it if Paul's on the books for 30.8. So again, if they want to swing a trade, it's definitely possible that's the route to getting to a trade. The next option is more so out of the Spurs' control. Again, this is the scenario where they do want Chris Paul. They want to aggressively pursue him. This is where they say, okay, let's let the Suns waive Chris Paul so the Suns can't find a trade with any other team. So June 28th comes, they waive Chris Paul. So now he's going to, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent, and he's going to have a cap hit on the Suns' books next year for $15.8 million. Now, if this happens and the Spurs again want him, then they're competing with other teams. They're competing with contenders like the Clippers, the Lakers. The Spurs are going to be, they're projected to be a better team next year with the addition of Victor Wembanyama, but they're not quite going to be that contender just yet in year one, especially with just the addition of Chris Paul. So here is where the Spurs' cap space comes into play, where they can still offer anywhere from 24 to 43 million is what they're going to have in cap space. So they can actually outbid the Lakers, the Clippers, and any other contenders that come after Chris Paul in free agency, by saying, we know that we're not probably the finals contender, but here's where you can at least make more money. This is a situation of siding with San Antonio. And of course, if the Spurs want him, if they're really aggressively pursuing him, it's because they want him for his mentorship for the younger players, to show Victor Wembanyama how to work in the NBA pick and roll, also help out the young guards, the wings, let them still continue to do a lot of what they do in their development process. So again, these are the two scenarios where if the Spurs want Chris Paul, if they really, really want him, these are the two routes they would likely have to go through. Either try to trade for him before the 22 timeline ends by June 30th, or try to basically outbid for him in free agency when he's an unrestricted free agent, when he's going to have other teams calling that are contenders, but they don't have as much cap space. Actually, they don't have any cap space. A lot of those championship contenders only have the mid-level exceptions and things like that, tax mid-level exceptions, which is like 6 to like 10 million. And so again, San Antonio can outbid them money wise, but they may not be able to put a championship type team on the roster in year one. Now, I'm not going to say that this isn't possible, but according to the research that I did, I do not find a way where the Spurs can claim him off waivers. So what this means is that, let's just say that the Spurs can't find a trade for Paul and the Suns don't want to trade him to a team. And so they end up waiving him by June 28th. Then a team is allowed to claim him off waivers. But in order to do that, you have to have the full amount of salary for his contract. So like I said, the Spurs are finishing this current year, 2022, with $22.1 million in cap space, but they would need $28.4 million if they're going to claim Chris Paul off waivers. And so I can't see them doing that. They can't make up that, basically that $6 million difference. So that's why, according to, again, I'm not saying that's 100% true. It's what I've researched, what I've come to the conclusion. I've asked some people about this, and I can't find any other points that say that the Spurs are allowed to claim him off waivers if he does get waived by the Suns. Again, that's just according to my research. Maybe somebody else put something else out there. But again, that's from what I've done, the digging into this. I can't find a scenario where the Spurs are allowed to claim him off waivers. So that does not look possible for the Spurs. So now let's just talk about who is Chris Paul at age 38. So we know that he just, I think it was like in May, his birthday or March, when I was looking at the basketball reference. Anyway, so he is 38 for this coming season. Who is he? He's a 6 foot point guard. We saw that he's kind of on the declining part of his career now. He averaged 13.9 points per game this past season, which is a career low for him. Still collected 4.3 rebounds, 8.9 assists, 1.5 steals. He played in 59 games, which is pretty low for him. He usually plays a lot more, 32 minutes a night. And of course, we know that we didn't really see him in the playoffs when the Suns got eliminated by the Nuggets because he was hurt for most of that playoff run. So we do see that, age and injury are starting to catch up to him. How was his shooting this year? We saw that was also declined for him. He's normally like a 51% shooter on twos. We know that his mid-range jumper can usually be a lethal weapon for him, but this year it quite wasn't. So he shot 48% on twos, 38% on 4.4 three-point attempts, and then 83% from the free throw line. And so I O'Connor wrote in his article, the one about the original one that got the Spurs' name in there, that he thought that the Spurs could be a playoff team with the addition of Chris Paul. And of course, he'll be a great mentor for the young players. I agree with a lot of what he said there. As far as where I think that they would definitely be able to fight for the playoffs with a player like Chris Paul and then the addition of Victor Wembanyama. And then if everyone else is healthy, Jeremy Sohan, Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson. So I think they would fight for a playoff seed out West just because if it's like.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This current season where the seeds were so close together, I could see them definitely like in that six to like play-in range, somewhere in that area. I don't see them being a top four team with Chris Paul, but I could definitely see them playing somewhere in that like 6 to 11 or whatever that is, 12 range or whatever the play-in range. I already forgot. 10, I think. Yeah, 6 to 10 range. So I think that's the kind of team they would be. Again, because they're not quite going for the title next year, I don't think that financially, yes, it's going to restrict him a little bit having him on the books for $30.8 million, but I think it's a good season to have a veteran player who's been in the league for multiple years, seeing all sorts of defenses, to teach those young guys to work out the pick and roll, show Victor Wembanyama where he should be in certain spots on pick and rolls, on pick and pops, how to get mismatches, and then also. Because, like I said, because he's more so in the declining part of his scoring part of his game, I think he can still give the ball over to Devin Vassell, to Keldon Johnson, Jeremy Sohan, let them do some things offensively, like we saw with the Suns did with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. I think he'll be a good quarterback for the team to kind of put them in their place and give everyone a chance to basically try to attack the defense. So again, I'm not saying it's a horrible idea. Again, I think that if that's what the Spurs really wanted to do, if that's what their goal was, to try to get Chris Paul now that he's most likely going to get waived or traded, I think that wouldn't be a bad option for San Antonio. So again, that's kind of the latest on the Chris Paul rumor. I did want to address it. I know it's been a few days since I recorded a Spurs cast, but that's kind of where everything sits. And my goal mostly was not to say if I'm for or against this move. It's more so to figure out how do the Spurs get him. And again, I think those are the two most likely options. One, they try to trade for him in this current timeline of 2022, or two, they try to sign him and outbid for him against a lot of contenders if he becomes a free agent, which that looks more difficult. All right, so now let's get back to our social media questions. So thank you all for those of you that sent in questions via Twitter. And then also, I apologize. I know that a lot of people watch these videos now on YouTube. So I'm also going to start looking at some questions from the YouTube audience. Just go to our Project Spurs Network. That's where these videos will run. And so I'm going to basically be taking a question from Twitter each week or each episode, and then a question from the other social media like YouTube. And so the first question we're going to address is from Twitter. And the main premises of this question is, who benefits most from Wemby joining the team? So let's get to the question. This comes from Twitter user at Matt M. Garcia. They ask, who on the current Spurs roster stands to benefit the most from Wemby's arrival? So who's going to benefit the most? So what I did on this question was I started writing all the current players on the Spurs roster coming back for next season. So we expect Keldon Johnson, Doug McDermott, Devontae Graham, Zach Collins, etc. I'm not going to go through the whole list. Then I try to narrow it down to who's going to most likely be a starter and play a lot of minutes alongside Wembanyama. And these were the players that came to my conclusion. Keldon Johnson, Zach Collins, if he's starting, Devin Vassell, Jeremy Sochan, and Malachi Branham. I don't know if he'll be starting, but I think he's going to still continue to get a lot of minutes. So then I went a step further and said, you know, who's going to, you know, not only just be on the floor with Wembanyama, but who's going to, you know, I think my brain was more offensive focused here. And I just felt like who's going to have a lot more responsibility or a lot more creative action when Wembanyama has the ball in his hands, or when that player has the ball in his hands and he can kind of build a rapport with Wembanyama and create a two-man attack. And that player for me, my answer, Matt, was Devin Vassell. Okay, so here's my few reasons why after kind of going through this and doing and just kind of figuring it out, analyzing this. For one, let's just say that Wembanyama has the ball in his hands. I think that this is going to be a great opportunity when Wemby's attacking the defense for spacing for Vassell. He'll start getting more open looks. We know that he can be a good knockdown shooter when he's open on the spot up wide open shots. We know that he didn't get a lot of those last year when you look at the wide open threes data. So I think that just the fact that Wemby's going to draw a lot of attention from the defense and he's going to kick out the shooters, I think that Vassell is one of those players when we talk about a lot of the starters from this past year's team who's already a good shooter, who's just going to continue to, you know, be a really good player from there if he gets those opportunities that Wemby opens up for him. Because we know that, you know, Keldon's three-point shot was almost like a roller coaster last year. We know Jeremy Sochan, that's a part of his game he's developing, but it's not there yet. You know, Branham could also be impacted here. He was showing some good signs shooting the open threes. Now, when Vassell's attacking, I also think that's going to be good for Wembanyama as well, where they're going to work together, because he now can kick out to Wemby, who can shoot for three. Or if Wemby's rolling toward the rim, he can throw past him for the alley-oop. Or they can try to basically figure out some switches. Like if Vassell's attacking and he might have a mismatch, he can attack that player. If he sees that, you know, he drew a different defender on him and Wemby has a mismatch, then he can throw it to Wemby and then he can attack the defense that way. So like then again, I think that just that two-man game, when Vassell has the ball in his hands, he's able to kick out to different outlets, and Wemby's definitely one of those outlets he can throw to from either outside or inside. And Wemby has different ways that he can finish. And then lastly, I think that it would just be a really good opportunity for both Vassell and Wemby to develop that pick and roll chemistry early on in year one together. Again, because we're anticipating that Vassell is going to get some sort of contract extension this coming offseason. And so he's going to probably be on the Spurs' books for the next 5 years alongside Wemby. So this is a great opportunity in year one for them to start building their pick and roll game. We saw Vassell in those few games that he was healthy start to show some signs there where he was able to operate in the pick and roll, especially when defenses went under. He could shoot the pull-up three. He could shoot that pull-up mid-ranger. So that's still going to be in play, of course, because I think now he's going to have even more room, because defenses, when they do that pick and roll, they're going to be scared to, you know, leave Wemby alone. So they're going to switch off on him. I think you're going to see a lot more situations where two players go toward him. And so I think that leaves those pull-up threes open for Vassell. I think that leaves those mid-range pull-ups open for Vassell, or he can even drive to the basket. And of course, if Wemby rolls, well then, hey, Vassell can throw him an alley-oop pass. He can try to get him a mismatch with a smaller player, gives it to him around the nail, lets him go one-on-one. Or if Wembanyama pick and pops, well then there's a great option there from three. He can either pass out to him, he can shoot a wide open three, or he can, you know, get the defense off their feet and then roll to the basket. I mean, drive to the basket with the ball in his hands and try to create some action there. So I just think that there's a lot more variety now, and it will be just a good opportunity for Vassell and Wemby to start building that pick and roll chemistry, because they're going to most likely be together on the same team together for the next 5 years. And so I think Vassell, again, I was looking at this more so from an offensive standpoint. I think Vassell is the player who is going to benefit from having Wembanyama. If this question was more so about like defensively, who's going to have the biggest impact, I think that Sochan might be a good candidate here. I think that having that almost like that security blanket of having Wembanyama near the rim, who can just attack, come by and help with the weak side defense. That gives Sohan more opportunity, not just to guard some of the other team's best players, but also be able to, almost be like a free safety in football, being able to kind of just wreak havoc and get in passing lanes, kind of taking a few more gambles, especially with his size and his versatility. And so I think that defensively, I think Wembanyama's addition to the team could help out Sohan. So those are my answers. If it's an offense, it's Devin Vassell. If it's on defense, I think it's going to be Sohan. But either way, I think the whole team's going to definitely benefit from having Wembanyama on the team. Thank you for that question, Matt. All right, our next question does come from YouTube, and I'll just get to the question first because I know the headline says, "Can the Spurs try to trade for Haliburton?" That's Tyrese Haliburton of the Indiana Pacers. So this question came from YouTube. It came from user Sent De Los Santos. They ask, "What do you think of Haliburton, Tyrese Haliburton from the Pacers? Can the Spurs trade for him? I think he will fit well with the Spurs. Plus, trading for him will not cost as much assets, and he also fits well with the Spurs timeline." Unfortunately, Sent De Los Santos, I got eager when I saw Haliburton's name, and I was like, oh, okay, this could be an interesting question. You know, where does this go? And then I start looking at his contract numbers, and then I see the bad thing, which is the situation where Vassell's in, which is that he's going to be extension eligible to the season. So I don't think we even get to this question. I think that, you know, the Pacers will have the opportunity starting July 1st until October of the first, the day before the first game of the regular season. The Pacers will have the opportunity to sign him to an extension, just like the Spurs are going to have that same opportunity to sign Vassell to an extension. And so that's why I think this question becomes moot. I don't think we need to address it, just because, Haliburton is extension eligible. We know he just made his first All-Star team at age 23. He's an up-and-coming player for the Pacers. He's basically their franchise player at this point for this young team. And so he's going to be able to sign a rare extension, according to Bobby Marks, if it comes through. It's going to be what's called the rookie veteran extension with the Pacers, which is for 5 years, $204 million. So again, I don't know if it's going to be that full amount, but I just think that, yeah, the Pacers are not going to let him go. They're going to try to get him signed this coming off season. So I think that, again, this question doesn't come into play. I don't think the Spurs have the opportunity to try to trade for him, just because I don't think he'll be on a short-term deal any longer. I think that he will end up signing some sort of extension with the Pacers. And so he'll be a Pacer for the next 5 years. Now, maybe in the future, if the Spurs have interest in him and things aren't going well for Indiana, then yeah, maybe they can try to figure out a trade. Let's just say that the wildest, most crazy situation happens and the Pacers don't agree with Haliburton on an extension. So what does this contract look like? So this coming season, he's going to make $5.8 million. And the next season, he'll be a restricted free agent for $17.4 million. So again, if things went totally wrong and the negotiations fell apart, and then he says he wants to go into restricted free agency, well, then yeah, the Pacers might need to look at trying to trade him. And then if that's the case, I think the Indiana is asking for a lot from San Antonio to try to trade for Haliburton, because again, Halliburton's only 23. He's already an All-Star. And so are they asking for one of the Spurs' young and up-and-coming players? Are they going to ask for Sohan? Are they going to ask for Malachi Branham? What kind of first-round pick are they asking for? I think those questions come into the conversation. But again, I don't think we even get there, just because I think that everything's going well for Indiana in the young team that they're building. And Haliburton is the face of that franchise right now. So I think they're going to come together on some sort of agreement for that 5 years, $204 million extension. But thank you again for sending in that question. So those are just three of the topics I wanted to address today on this episode. So again, we made our way through the Chris Paul rumor. We addressed one question from Twitter, and then we addressed another question from YouTube. And again, I will continue to address some of those questions you all sent in future episodes. And we'll continue to see where the Spurs' name comes into the news, or that there are more rumors about players they're interested in. I know that a player who we discussed here on the Spurs cast, Fred VanVleet, on Monday that I'm recording this episode, the rumor came out that he's going to decline his player option, which we expected with the Toronto Raptors, and he will now become an unrestricted free agent. Well, I'm not saying that the Spurs have interest in him, but he's a player to look out for if the Spurs did want to pursue a point guard like VanVleet. So thank you for listening to this episode of the Spurs cast. Thanks to everyone who sent in questions either by Twitter or YouTube. I'll continue to answer questions in the upcoming episodes. I also want to say thank you to Joe Garcia for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.